obedience school. How many of you guys have dogs? You guys got dogs at all? Well, I guess, you know, people go to obedience school and they learn how to train their dogs and make sure that they do the right things. And there's this dog school in Colorado. And here's what they said is that you can tell a lot about a dog's temperament. And it's how they respond to their owner. And so they said if an owner falls down and they're hurt, a dog with a bad temper would actually try to attack the owner at that point. And if it was a dog with a good temperament, they would actually start kissing and trying to help the owner up. And so this lady, she's had her dog in the obedience school for quite a while. And she thought, you know what, I'm going to try this test. So she's in her living room. She's eating pizza. And then she drops the plate and she does this whole dramatic thing. She ends up clenching her heart and she's grabbing it. And then she falls down on the ground. She kicks around a little bit, squiggles there, and she just lays and waits. And the two dogs actually look at each other. They're thinking, what are we going to do? And then they quickly ran to the pizza and started chowing it down. And so, you know, when you think about that, it's like, Where was the compassion? Where was the caring? It was all in the pizza. And that can happen in our lives, actually, is that we can see things going on around us and we seem oblivious to it. We start running to other things. And it can happen to us spiritually, where people are at spiritually. We can end up just not seeing the pain that people may be in life. And this morning, we're going to start a series. It's a three-week series. It's called Getting Ready. And here's the foundation behind it, is that we're a church that's in transition right now. We want to grow. We want not to grow to have numbers, but to grow to see lives change, to see people transformed. And I believe sometimes what God does is He waits until we're ready. You don't want to put your kid in a situation that they're not ready for, right? And so you want them to be prepared. So I believe over these next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at building a foundation. And it's going to have to start with us before anything else can happen. And so the first week, we're going to look at the heart. The next week, we're going to look at the mind. And the next week, we're going to look at the spirit. And it all leads up to Easter the next Sunday. And we're praying that God will bring people in that don't know Jesus and that their lives will change and they'll walk out of this door different for eternity. And so that's really exciting, but there's things that we have to do because we can build it and we can maybe even make it good enough so people will come and they say, I'm coming. But for it to truly transform and change lives, it needs Jesus all over it. Jesus is what changes and transforms. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that You would be with each one of us this morning. God, during this service, God, that we wouldn't hear Rich speak, but we would hear Your voice. God, that You would speak to us where we're at. God, You know all the things going on in our life. And God, I ask right now that You would help push all the distractions away. There's so many things that want to pop up into our mind right now. God, we want to just hear You. God, we know that stuff will be there at the end of the service. And God, we just put that on a shelf right now. We want to hear from You. We don't want any distractions. God, we ask that You'd forgive the one that teaches. His sins are many. Let us see Jesus and Him only. In Your Son's name, amen. This morning, we're going to look in Matthew. We've got it up on the screen and also in your study guide. It's Matthew 35 through 38. Let me read it. Because if we're supposed to be like Christ, we need to be listening and watching how Christ acts and responds. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." Now, pull out your study guide. Make sure you have that out. Because Jesus is talking about this compassion, but we've probably heard that word so much that it doesn't really touch us anymore. We don't even really know what the word compassion is. But in your program this morning, write I will open my eyes to the harvest. I will open my eyes to the harvest. Go ahead and write that down. Because it says in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, the key part of that verse, I think, that really stuck out to me this week is that he saw the crowd and had compassion on them. See, it's one thing to have compassion on one person. When you see someone or a family or someone that's struggling in something, it's easy to say, oh, I see it and I have some compassion. I care for them. But when it's a crowd, I mean, we were at a sporting event this week and it was just crowd everywhere. You know, there's so many people. When we go to Walmart, I mean, if you've ever gone Black Friday shopping or anything, what's around you? It's just a crowd of people. And do we ever give it a second thought? I mean, I can be honest with you. They're just out there. I don't think anything about those people. And you know, it's just so easy to go the other direction. Just like the dogs, it was easy for them to go for the pizza. It's so easy for us just to be looking at specific things instead of the whole picture, like the crowd. And so Jesus actually scans humanity and he looks at people and he has compassion on the crowds. Guys, so much our society tells us it's all about me. It's all about one person. It's a me society. And Jesus cares about the crowd. When he sees these people, he sees so much deeper. And if we're supposed to be like Christ, we need to start having compassion on the crowds, on the people. When we see a picture like, you guys have all probably channel surfed and saw Save the Children or a show like that. And it's like a documentary and it shows things in a third world country and it shows kids that are bloated and they've got flies that are landing on top of them and they're in very bad shape. And we can start to have compassion for that and our eyes start to open. Tina and I were part of a ministry. We were helping another ministry and they had this video that played before they went on. And they had this little girl and she was all dirty and she had stuff all over her face and she's broken. And I'll never forget it. She started crying and she said, we ain't got the money. We ain't got the money. And I would see that and it would just break my heart. It's this little girl crying out, asking for help. Well, we can sometimes start to feel compassionate when we see that. But how compassionate do we get about someone's soul? About what's going on spiritually in their life? What's going on for eternity? How much is that worth? Eternity. How much is having God fulfill you and give you an abundant life? Jesus looks at the crowd. And he sees all of these people that are helpless and harassed. How many of you have been harassed before or helpless? Inside, where you're thinking, man, how am I going to get through life? This is so difficult. This is so hard. I don't know how I'm going to get through it. I know when I try to live life on my own, it's very easy for the enemy to come in and to harass me and to make me feel worthless and belittle who I am. But God cares about that spirit, and he wants each person to be fulfilled. There's not a quick answer to it. A lot of times people say, well, Rich, what's the microwave steps? What do I need to do to help change people's lives? We have a whole community around us, and we know the statistics. We know that people aren't putting their faith in God. They're putting their faith in everything else right now, and the numbers are growing. How do we share Jesus with these people? How do we see something transformed? I think we have to look at ourselves and say, am I transformed? Has God come in and changed my life? And if he has, do I want to share that with other people? I mean, I grew up in a Christian family and I went through all the Christian motions and I'd have good chapters and bad chapters. But what I realized is when I'd start to take my eyes off of Christ and put it all on my goodness and the things I do, life just wouldn't work out. And the Bible says that our goodness is as filthy rags. So the best we do is really not good enough. And so how do we really realize that we need Jesus? Do we really, some people actually look at Jesus as kind of life insurance, you know, get out of hell card or something like that. And they say, I'm just going to believe in God for that. But not that Jesus can really change and transform your lives right now. And he wants to give that. And if you've experienced it, then the natural thing is wanting to share it with people. If you look at the Gospel of John, it's the only gospel that actually uses testimonies. It's the first gospel that introduces the idea of testimony. And so it's where someone would say, this happened in my life and God changed it. Do you guys have that in your life? Do you have something that you say, hey, you know what? My life was going this way. It wasn't working right. I was having problems. And I put my faith in Jesus and things changed. You know, that's an incredible thing. Once we realize how Jesus helps us, we can share that with other people. Because everybody needs Jesus. And that sounds really arrogant. And you're saying, Rich, that's really close-minded of you. But everyone needs Jesus. In Psalms 139, it talks about each one of us being knitted by Jesus in the womb. So before we came out, Jesus was working on each one of us uniquely. And I believe that he put his handprint on each one of us. And that's the only thing that will fill us. Each of us have different prints, but it's still only Jesus' hand that can fill that. I want you to write down for number two is that I'll work in the fields of the harvest. I will work in the fields of the harvest. Because remember, we're talking about laying a foundation. If this church is to grow, if we're supposed to grow individually, these are some steps that we need to do. As a teenager, I worked at pumping gas. And I told you guys before, in Oregon, you can't pump your own gas. They think that that's too hazardous or too tricky. And so they have teenage kids pumping your gas for you. And so we're out there, and I'll never forget working at the Texaco. And I'd be filling up those cans of the cars with gas. And the owner of it was a Vietnamese man, and his name was Duck. And Duck was a very entertaining character. He'd get pretty animated at times. He'd be like, you wipe it down the counter, you wipe it down. Come on, guys, keep working. Don't put diesel in the gas. Don't put diesel. And Duck was just really entertaining, and he was always telling us to clean the bathrooms and wipe her things down. And the thing about Duck is he'd get really excited sometimes. He'd be out there talking to people. And they would actually be very demeaning to Duck. And Duck would smile and he'd say, oh, you right, sir. You very right. You good man. Then he'd walk in and he'd be like, oh, that guy makes me so mad. He makes me so mad. And, you know, it was just the funniest job to have. But I didn't actually keep that job so that I could be around Duck. The reason why I kept that job was for a paycheck. That paycheck helped pay things. And here's the thing about the harvest. If we really care about the crowd, if we really care about trying to reach people, what we're going to find out is that it's kind of dirty sometimes, and it's messy. You know what? My life gets messy, and your life gets messy at times. And sometimes mistakes and things happen, and it becomes very ugly. And sometimes we just don't want to deal with that with people, do we? Sometimes we just don't have the time. We say, I am too drained to deal with other people. But that's the thing. If we really want to reach other people, we've got to be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to give the time. We had this meeting and someone said, we started talking about the idea of how much is it worth to reach people, to bring people in the church, to see people have a relationship with Christ. How much is it worth? Is it worth $25 per person to reach someone and bring them to the kingdom? Is it worth $200? If we spent $200 to bring one person into the kingdom, is it worth $1,000. How much is it worth to see someone's life changed and transformed? Same thing with time. How much is someone's life worth to spend with? Is it worth an hour to see them change? Is it worth 2 hours? You know what? I'm glad that no one gave up. And no one said, you know what, Rich, you're still just being stubborn, and I've already invested 2 hours into you and I'm done. Aren't you glad that didn't happen? And in your life too, people just didn't give up? That Jesus didn't give up? That's the whole thing. If we want to grow, we need to be committed to saying, you know what? I'm committed to the crowd. I'm committed to people outside of me, and I'm committed to care for them. Even when it's messy and it doesn't seem to work right. Now, it seems like it would be an easy thing to get people to want to serve and share what God's done in their life. But it's just not. Isn't it amazing when you just start to think of how God has changed your life? If God has done something amazing in your life, how you wouldn't want to share it with someone else. But it's true, because Jesus said this. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Why do you think the workers are few? Why do you think the workers are few? Why isn't everybody jumping into it? It's because it's messy and it's hard work. But just like as I worked at the Texaco, there was a reward. I got paid every 2 weeks there. The reward for sharing God to other people is priceless. It's something that there's no price tag we can put on it. There's no time scale. When you love someone enough to care for them and to share Jesus and you see it change and transform their lives, there's no price you can put on that. See, I believe that we're all called to be planting seeds, that we're called to be at this harvest, to be helping, to be a part of this. A lot of times people don't know how to help other people. I meet people that, great religious people that say, you know, Rich, I'm always planting seeds. I'm always planting seeds. And it's like, man, are you ever seeing people's lives change? No, but I'm always planting seeds. And then I try to figure out what type of seeds they're planting. And then I see people planting seeds like, you know what? My neighbors, they were having a party. They were making a lot of noise. And I told them to be quiet or I'm calling the cops because I'm a Christian person. And I don't put up with that. And they think that's planting the seeds. Or they say, you know what? There was a couple living right next to us and they were living together. You know, they were living in sin, no wedding ring. And so I told them that they're going to hell till they get things fixed. And they think that's planting seeds. You know, I could go on and on and on with offensive things that Christians have said to say, I'm planting seeds. I'm doing this. We plant seeds by planting Jesus. Jesus had compassion. Jesus cared on people. Jesus showed love. And as we plant seeds about Jesus, you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. But we have to choose, am I committed to plant seeds or not? Am I committed to sharing Jesus with people, even if it's messy, even if it's ugly at times, even if it may distract other things in my life? Am I willing to do that? I believe if we are, I believe that individually your life will change, and I believe as a church our lives will change. There's all different types of ways that we could say about, you know, how can we quantify it? It's hard to say, how am I dealing with someone spiritually? But numbers don't always matter, but numbers do show what's going on. If you feel like God is changing your life and you're excited, you want other people to have that same excitement. Now, let's say this, is that you make a commitment and you say, okay, this year I'm going to take time each week to just show love to people. I'm going to show compassion to people where they're at. I'm going to plant seeds of Jesus. Now, let's say that only out of all of that work that you did, and our church as a total in both services is probably a little over 100 people. That means that if we shared Jesus and said, you know what, this is exciting, and they came to church, and we would probably see, what, next year, around 200 people. And if that continued on and people were excited and fired up, and I'm not talking about crazy numbers, I'm talking about one person out of a year. We're talking about 400 people. Then we go on again, the next year it would be 800 people. I want to live a life that actually makes a difference, not just for now. I mean, because we know money can come and go. We know that the housing market can come and go. We know that the stock market can come and go. But what's going to last forever? What am I investing into? Am I investing into people? And I think that that's key. We have to have a heart of investing into people. The third thing I want you to write down is, I will pray to the Lord of the harvest. I will pray to the Lord of the harvest. See, since I've been talking, for some of you, you'd say, Rich, you're preaching to the choir. I've heard this sermon 1,000 times. Okay, I'm supposed to go out and tell people about Jesus. You know what? It can be lip service at times. And it can be lip service in my own life. Because I realized this week, how many situations have I just blown it when I had an opportunity to show compassion? When the guy pulls in front of me and is really rude and disrespectful and blocks my car in, did I show compassion to him? Did I look at him and see, you know what, this guy's broken, there's some problems with where he's at? Or did I just say, you know what, you're a jerk? What do we do? It's so easy for us to fall into not caring. It's like the dogs running right for the pizza. We don't run to the person that's hurting. Do we see the person hurting? And here's what I mean about prayer. We pray and we ask God, open my eyes to see what's going on in people's lives. Because on the outside, it's pretty easy, right? If someone has a broken arm, you see the cast. You say, okay, there's something wrong. But we don't know what's going on spiritually in people's lives. But we pray and we ask God to reveal it. Say, God, show me who I'm supposed to care for. Show me who I'm supposed to show compassion, who I'm supposed to invest into. And I believe God is big enough to show you, to reveal you, and to get you motivated. Because I tell you what, it's very easy to ignore what's going on out there. And the only way that we're truly going to make a difference is if we see that and we reach out as Jesus did. So sometimes it's hard to even say you're a Christian. And that's why sometimes I like to use that word Christ follower. So if we're a Christ follower, we follow what Christ did. And Christ had compassion on people on the outside and on the inside. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have compassion on God, that you care for each one of us. God, you love us so much. And it's so easy to just get caught up, feel overwhelmed in life. God, we come to you and we just ask you to forgive us for some of our just non-compassion, for the ways that we just don't care sometimes, even when you put it right in front. God, I ask that you would be with each one of us. God, that this week, God, we'd start laying a foundation. And our foundation would be looking to love and care for. God, you put people in our way all the time. And how we respond. God, I ask that you would be with the people here at church that they're just struggling. God, they need compassion. They need someone to put their arm on their shoulder and let them know that you care. God, we're called to be your hand extended. We're called to show compassion. For some people, we're the book. They're seeing you through us. God, help us be more like you. God, that when we look in the mirror, we see more of you and less of us. And God, I ask that each person where we're at, the things that are going on, that God, you would bring community, you would bring people around to show love, and you would prepare our hearts. In your Son's name, amen.